News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
What's going on? Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Feels like a Monday, but it's a Tuesday because of Labor Day yesterday. I'll tell you one thing. People took the holiday very seriously. If you rode around town at all yesterday, I had a couple of occasions doing some errands, and there was nobody out there.
No.
It was really, really. It's almost like people took the day off and took the traffic off.
I guess so.
I'm not even going to get out there and check it out. Just like on the Beltline and places where I usually have got to stop and watch myself and be careful with all the traffic, it just wasn't out there.
I would try to provide some commentary myself, but I was at home and stayed at home yesterday.
You were one of those.
Just working in the yard. So that certainly wasn't the case on Monday or earlier in the week, or if you were headed westbound yesterday on the Bayway and trying to get back home. Traffic was an absolute disaster basically from Friday through the weekend. Although my brother, who's in the Air Force, you know, he was previously stationed in Valdosta. So when we would make the trip, and I joked about it because my parents would leave from Alberta and we would leave from this side of the bay. And I was never looking forward to that, just driving to Valdosta, you know, I-10 over and then head north and get in. But it was really the Bayway that would always cause those issues. Well, now he's been moved and is stationed in Columbus, Mississippi. So
you're happy about that.
Turnabout is fair play. Yeah, my parents have to cross the bay now whenever they want to see their son and his now one-year-old daughter. But the trip to Columbus, Mississippi for me this weekend was easy peasy, piece of cake. Mm. Just take 45 up, and then once you hit that four lane in Mississippi, it's easy going. Some of the roads are bumpy, but other than that, I mean.
Has it been documented on this station yet, even one time, that 45 is two lanes and an occasional third lane on the way to Citronelle?
No, and I wish
and
someone...
then it's a four lane once you get to Mississippi.
I wish someone would bring that up, Dan, that 45 is an absolute problem in the state of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you get to Mississippi, I don't know if you know this, but it turns into a four lane.
Like, whoa, this is what it could be.
If only Shane Stringer would talk about that from time to time.
And Jeff, heck, he might
be on with Jeff today. Who knows?
Yeah.
Talking about that again. But yeah, so I can't relate to your traffic problems. Although I know there's been a lot of talk of traffic enforcement and many of you saying, where is the traffic enforcement in Alabama?
Look, you don't have to have traffic enforcement when people are doing 7 miles an hour on the Bayway.
That's a good point.
That's what I experienced. When I was on the causeway going six, looking up at the Bayway saying, did I make the wrong decision?
Mm-hmm.
Heck no. They're going, you know, five, six, eight, whatever.
Yeah. And other than my usual, you know, the same trips that many of us make into Gulfport, Biloxi, other than that, I haven't had many places to go in Mississippi over mm-hmm. the years. So now that I'm going up to Columbus, I've kind of been led to believe that the streets of Mississippi are really a lawless land, that they don't get you for speeding. I've had people in my family say, yeah, you can run as fast as you want between here and Starkville and you're good to go. That was not the case this weekend. Mm-hmm. State troopers were out and about, but I guess that's pretty typical for a Labor Day. So if you had the misfortune like Dan did on Friday of trying to cross the bay, or even worse, it sounds, yesterday trying to get back through all that traffic, let us know about it on the text line, 251-343-0106. A lot of texts also of folks, they heard Governor Ivey and her Labor Day speech.
Yeah,
that excerpt there on the 1819 News.
She didn't sound great.
She did not sound good. And Squirrel Vereen says, ooh, our dear governor sounded rough. Joel, putting it in less clinical terms, or maybe more clinical terms, he said she sounds like she's, you know, I'm not going to read that, but she sounds bad. Yeah, so... You know, three more months of Governor Ivey in office, and then a new governor will take over. But I know she sounds rough now. I imagine that if you had a microphone in her face previously to that, she didn't sound much better. Well, I mean, in the state of the state, she didn't sound great, and that was a while back.
She's just not making any appearances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's am I wrong?
No, you're not.
And so we're not really monitoring her health or lack of health or decline, whatever you want to call it, because we're going months at a time in between appearances by her. And then when we hear her, all the reaction has got nothing to do with the content of the message, which some of that could have been like, not so sure that that's all that, you know, she might be a little too high on Alabama workers.
Yeah.
But it had more to do with how she sounded.
Yeah.
And, you know.
You can't get past the delivery to actually judge the substance.
Right, right.
Haywood says, did Governor Ivey sound weak to you in that Labor Day message? She certainly did. And, you know, as much as we talk about our leaders in government and as many issues as we've had over the years with the Ivey administration, you still just have to, you know, pray for the best. She's up there in age.
Right.
Just hoping she's all right and hoping she gets some time out of office to really kind of, you know, enjoy life.
But, yeah. And how about through it all, among the most popular governors in the nation, if not number one on top of the heap.
By the numbers, yeah. She consistently ranks up there in approval rating. So 251-343-0106. We have some texts we want to get to. I also want to get to this audio message. This was left on our app, which if you haven't, you know, maybe you gave the app a shot a couple years ago when we first launched it. Maybe you had some issues or maybe not, or maybe you just forgot how useful it can be. If you haven't in a while, get the FM Talk 106.5 app. And I know this last month we had one of our better downloads month in a long time, and that's because people are downloading the app and using it and really enjoying it.
Well, we've improved the app too.
We have improved it. There's a lot less standing between you now from when you open the app and when you're listening to FM Talk 106.5 live, wherever you happen to be, as long as you have a good cell or internet signal. But I know we have a lot of UMS fans who have downloaded the app so they can listen to the UMS games on Friday night, which the Bulldogs now 2-1 after a win over the Gunners Riversless St. Michael Catholic team on Friday night.
Not to change the subject too much, but pretty amazing. Jim Cox with all his friends boating and fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his pastimes is deep sea fishing. And we had so many people watching the game, UMS fans, from out in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, one after another after another. I mean, probably 10
That's
different
cool.
texts of people who were watching the game.
Yeah.
And maybe listening as well to our broadcast from FM Talk.
Yeah.
But it was like lifestyle of the UMS fans may differ from yours.
I imagine Starlink a player in that, potentially, being able to do that. But audio message from Doug, and he left this on the FM Talk 106.5 app, which you can do as well. Just go to the bottom of that app. You'll see a microphone. Click that. I think it asks you for information. You can even just give us a fake name. I don't care. All I really care about is the message you have to deliver. Here's what Doug, Captain Doug, had to say this morning.
Good morning, Dan and Dalton. I just witnessed one of the new second-line trolleys. Man, what a horrible color. I'd have thought the city of Mobile would have come up with something a little bit more bright than that purple and green. And they could have done better.
So, yeah, I guess I'm surprised a trolley is out and about and in public right now. I think they had the one trolley, if I remember correctly, that Mayor Spiro has been fired up about.
Maybe that's the one he saw.
Today at council, they're going to take a look at getting five more trolleys, I believe, is the discussion that one of the many discussions that they're going to have today at the city council meeting. But I haven't seen it. I haven't even, I think, seen a mock-up. Doug, they're not happy with the appearance of the trolleys that are making their way around.
We were having this conversation, and you pointed out to me, that's the New Orleans colors, is the
going with the green. Yeah, well, it's supposed to be never green, right?
I guess they're green and gold and purple, whereas Mobile is simply purple and gold.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact, if the trolley, we haven't seen it, Doug has.
I'll have to see if there's some mock-ups. I'm sure there are. But, yeah, today the council looking to authorize the mayor to seek federal funding for five new trolley-style buses.
Okay.
So you've gotten a look at them
today.
Maybe you feel the same way Captain Doug does. Let us know. 251-343-0106.
You have to at least get the color scheme right.
Yes.
Correct?
I'd say that's important.
Yeah. 8:16, we're going to talk a little college football right around the corner.
Yeah, Drew Fabianich, executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. We were watching this weekend. You know he was watching. He'll let us know what he thought about some of the players that make the game coming up here on the way on Mobile Mornings.
news, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Always remember, Dalton, when Drew Fabianich takes the field during the Senior Bowl for whatever presentations he's involved in, the fans aren't booing. They're drooling. Drew Fabianich joins us right now. He's the executive director of the Panini Senior Bowl. Good morning, Drew. Oh,
morning. I've been booed before.
Well, you're in positions of hierarchy where you make decisions, and some of the fans don't think they're all correct back in the day.
Yeah, well, again, how many of them watch tape? Oh, did I say that?
You did.
Well, you know, Dan and I get booed probably constantly, but the good news for us is we can't hear it because we're in this studio. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But we know
what's going on.
What a weekend in college football it was, to say the least, and it went and went and went all the way to a two-hour power delay, lack of power in Tallahassee last night. We may get to that game, but Drew, let's start off with the games on Saturday. And actually, why don't we start with some controversy and Michigan versus Western Michigan. I think the Wolverines, I don't remember. I think they were somewhere around a 4-touchdown, 30-point favorite. That wasn't the case at the end of the game, and some controversy. Hail Mary that looked like the time had run out. That Hail Mary was knocked down. But the Big Ten officials said, actually, there was a second left. And then, as exciting as they are, another Hail Mary, this time caught by a Wolverines player, and they escape with a win. What a crazy game that ended up being.
Yeah, I actually turned it to a different channel because I thought the game was over with.
I did the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, it was like all of a sudden there's another highlight, and I go like, what happened here? Yeah. I mean, then you go the next day and go, okay, yeah, his feet weren't down. Well, there was there really a second left? I mean, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Big Ten officials. I mean, there you go.
Yeah, what are you going to do? And what did you make, though, of Michigan, the team? They shouldn't have had that kind of trouble, or maybe Western Michigan's a monster and we didn't even know it.
Yeah, Western Michigan's always been a pretty good football team. But, again, Michigan did not play like a Kyle Whittingham team as far as, you know, I mean, for whatever I watched. Mm-hmm. You know, watching his Utah teams, they were always physical. They always run the ball, and they were always efficient, you know, and kind of they showed none of that. So I'm sure things are going to get flipped around pretty quickly there because he's a hell of a ball coach, and, again, I'm pretty sure he'll prove it.
Yeah, it almost looked like the opposite of what we would have expected. Like, where is that Wisconsin grounded out, stop the run attitude? I don't know. And how about Lance Taylor being right there in the middle of all this, a guy that played at Citronelle and walked on at Alabama, played a lot of snaps there. You know Lance, I take it?
Yeah, he came down last year for the Senior Bowl and got to meet him in person. He does a good job. And like I said, that's been kind of a steady MAC program for a lot of years now. I mean, I went in there probably 15 times, you know, in 18 years. So that shows you that, you know, they're consistently doing the right evaluations on players and bringing the right people in.
They must be. Well, sometimes all you need is another spark of life, and Michigan's still well and alive, obviously, with so much time left in this season. But already after week one, Drew, I think some teams looking like contenders and some others not looking so much like contenders. Miami sure looked strong on Friday night. I know they were only playing Stanford, but with Tony playing the way he is and the transfer out of Duke, they look great. But LSU was the team for me this weekend and probably for most that looked like the most national championship ready with the drubbing they put on Clemson.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that. Not going to lie. I shouldn't be a bookmaker or handicapper at all because I didn't see that coming one bit. LSU looked like they were playing at a different speed.
Mm.
You know, they made play after play, not just on offense, but on defense. You know, they didn't give Clemson a chance to breathe.
No.
And, you know, and it showed. Really good job. Kudos to the whole, you know, LSU staff because, like I said, they played fast. I mean, they know what they're doing. And, like I said, they look like a different team out there than some.
Mm. So it started with their quarterback, Leavitt. He made a lot of plays running the ball. My caution would be careful. I don't think you want to live that way in every single game, especially with 9 SEC games. What's your thought on that?
No, big boy football. Don't do that. See, you know, let the running backs run, you know, escape when you have to.
Yep.
Make plays when you have to with your legs. But you know, again, he needs to stay in the pocket and be a, you know, distributor of the ball. And I'm sure that's what Lane wants him to do too, and then threaten with his feet every once in a while. Because the hardest thing to do on defense is defend all 11,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he makes you defend all 11. And that's why they were successful, you know, because Clemson couldn't defend all 11.
Yeah, and some questions for Dabo Swinney they have up there, and I'm sure that those won't be answered quickly after what LSU put on him on Saturday. How about another man who put up some good yardage on the ground, but I thought looked great throwing the ball as well, Keylon Russell in his first big start for Alabama. And while Ryan Coleman-Williams did have a couple noticeable drops, he still put together a really good game, although they were playing East Carolina. What'd you make of that Alabama offense this weekend?
Well, you know, East Carolina's a pretty good football team. Mm-hmm. At least they were. You know, for them to route them the way they did, I would have thought it would have been a little bit closer. But the defense, you know, people didn't talk about the defense, but Kane Womack's defense, you know, stifled them. I mean, took advantage of everything they tried to do and, you know, and didn't break at all. Hardly at all. Keylon Russell, what an athlete. And, again, makes you defend all 11. And I'm sure they're going to cause some issues with him. Threw the ball really well. They ran the ball pretty damn well. We'll see when they go up against SEC competition if they can still continue to run the ball the way they did. If they can, he'll be even a bigger threat as a thrower.
Thought Auburn was going to be just a turnkey operation with a quarterback and so many transfers, and the quarterback had a great year last year at South Florida, Coach Golish, and they didn't have many answers offensively. They were darn lucky and had a great defensive performance to win that game.
Yeah, give Baylor some credit. You know, they put together a pretty good roster out of the portal, helped themselves defensively because they were putrid on defense last year. You know, did a good job, and, you know, they handled off the offense Auburn pretty well, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brown wasn't as big a factor as I thought he was going to be.
No, and he seemed to be nervous or something. I don't know. He wasn't as confident in himself. But the bigger question for me, there was so much talk about the receivers also transferring over from South Florida. And it's great if you know the offense and you can get out there and know what you're doing. But if you don't have the talent, the athletic skills to pull away from those defenders at Baylor, which they have a good defense, but you know, you can only do so much if you don't have the athletic ability to overcome some of these defenses that you're going to go up against.
Well, and then again, sometimes you misjudge the level of talent you have, you know, at South Florida. And you are going, like I said, you're going to big boy ball. And sometimes those guys can't compete. Sometimes they can't separate. We'll see. I mean, again, some of those guys at Baylor get paid too.
So. Yeah. It used to be like a no-no to say that, but now it's the truth.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, not anymore.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, sometimes, you know, as a coach, you look at your players as the greatest players in the world, and you don't see them against everybody. You only see them, you know, against a selected few, and, you know, against your own roster. You kind of overestimate how good they are sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, a big one coming up this weekend, and as we wrap things up here, just a minute left, but you think there's going to be a scout or two out there for Ohio State and Texas on Saturday?
Yeah, and I saw the lower bowl seats are going for $6,000, too.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that, I'm not among the long line of purchasers. Hey, Drew, thanks for your time, man. And we'll review that and others back on our Monday schedule when we rejoin you next week, and we'll talk about the weekend that was.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you.
Drew Fambiotti, right. She's the executive director of the Senior Bowl, of course.
And yeah.
Our kind of college football insider.
Yeah, and the Senior Bowl will be here before you know it. So if that's something you do year in and year out, you want to make sure that you have your tickets. And January 30th, 2027, that's when they'll play it this year. We'll have a conversation with Drew all the way through. Right now it's 8:30, and coming back, we'll turn up your voice. 251-343-0106. A lot to get to here on Mobile Mornings as we get ready to wrap it up with the second half hour on the way next.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
8:35. On Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. Right now it's time to talk with Scooter Greenhill. You know him. You know him from Capital Tractor or one of the many other things he gets into. And Capital Tractor Sure, a big week on hand because we're going to be at the same location actually coming up at the end of this week, this weekend, with the G&D Farms Outdoor and Wildlife Expo at the grounds. Scooter, good morning. How are you, man?
Morning, buddy.
So Scooter's at that new Capital Tractor in Tillman's Corner at Fellowship Drive, and great, beautiful new location you have there. You could see the Kubota tractors from the interstate, but if you get up close and personal this week, what deals are we looking for? I know hunting season's coming up and people getting their camps ready and getting those fields ready. What do you have for them there at Capital Tractor, Scooter?
We've still got this Deer Hunter Special Tractor Package set up. Got tractor, loader, bush hog, disc, and a seed spreader. Just horsepower tractor options within that. But we're ready to make a deal on them.
And you have plenty of inventory as well. And I know people are coming through and just hooking up and heading home and getting that work done. What about your Kubota RTVs? Talk about those some.
And we've got a pretty big stock of the Kubota RTVs. We've got the gasoline models and the diesel models. We've got them in camouflage, orange, ATV tires, highway tires. You need one to drag a deer out the woods. We even got one with a winch in the bed of it.
Nice. Yeah, you can take care of whatever someone's looking for, whatever they're looking to use those for, you can hook them up. And a good opportunity to meet y'all, too, in person this weekend. Maybe they've already met you at your new Capital Tractor store, but y'all are going to be out at the G&D Farms Expo.
We will. We'll be moving in Friday, and we'll be there for the weekend. Look forward to seeing everybody down there.
Yeah.
Usually a pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good turnout, and they'll get to talk with you about, well, any questions they may have about equipment they're interested in getting or equipment that they can bring by and have you fix at Capital Tractor, because your service department's really good there as well.
It's a fantastic service department, and the mechanics know their stuff. State-of-the-art facility, so we're ready to take care of everybody.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing y'all this weekend out at the grounds for the G&D Farms Expo, or better yet, if somebody wants to come by this week here at that beautiful new store in Tillman's Corner. Thanks for your time this morning, Scooter.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Scooter Greenhill with Capital Tractor. If you're punching it in the GPS, it's 4894 Fellowship Drive, the new location there in Tillman's Corner beside the VA hospital. But like I said, you can see it from I-10, and it's easily accessible once you get up there in Tillman's Corner. 8:37 now.
You want to give us a call? Your voice, we'll turn it up right now, 251-343-0106. Text line also, we'll check some of those. Okay, so now we have the less than 2 months until the midterms, and now this, I think, first ever.
I think it is.
Midterm convention with the GOP. It's going to be Wednesday and Thursday in Dallas. Interesting politics here. Number one, let's listen to doing some kind of campaign stumping. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are doing a lot of these live events now with live audience behind them. And
rallies.
Rallies, right. That's the word I was looking for. So they've decided to kind of turn that up in their offense again. Here is Trump and Vance.
But the radical left Democrats want to destroy all the progress that we made and bring back their nation-wrecking nightmare of open borders, of sanctuary cities, of massive tax hikes, crippling energy restrictions. But Senator Darlene Graham and the people of South Carolina are not going to let that happen.
Now, we got to ask ourselves, imagine if they get back in power, what are they going to vote for? If these radicals take control of Congress, they're going to pass the craziest agenda America has ever seen. We in this room believe in America, and we're going to fight for it, my friends.
A lot of applause after both those comments, by the way, we've edited out, but so they're rallying the troops once again.
I also read that this week, with it being the GOP midterm convention, that the Senate Majority Leader, John Thune, is actually going to take a bit of a back seat.
He is.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the right's temperament right now regarding the Senate. They feel like Thune could have pushed through a lot more of the Trump playbook than he has. So they're kind of letting the House Majority Leader, Mike Johnson, other than the president and vice president, be the star of the week.
Yeah, Johnson's not in timeout like Thune right now. And so he's talking ahead of the convention, too, just to kind of lay the groundwork, make everybody understand clearly what's going on here and what GOP says is at stake.
We are super excited to have the first ever midterm convention for any party. It will be September 9th and 10th. two nights of earned media on every station in America. We'll parade all of our stars across the stage, talk about our extraordinary record of achievement. The president will look into the camera at the end and say, I am on the ballot, because we need his base to turn out. This is going to be a turnout election, as all midterms are. Two primary things that motivate people in a midterm election. One is anger. That's usually the party out of power. That's Democrats this time. But also fear. And what we're going to highlight at that convention is the fact that this is not your father's Democrat Party. This is not a midterm unlike any other, because we actually have a competition against communism now. And that's a very serious thing. It's going to animate voters coast to coast. We're going to see a bigger turnout than we've seen in a long, long time.
Let me give you a couple of thoughts on this, where we're at with this midterm election, midterm convention. So one thing that the Republicans no doubt are doing and will continue to hammer is they're putting the whole lot of Democrats into the same pale as the Democratic Socialists.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, look, if you're not going to give into it, if you're just going to, you know, lay down and let them say what they're going to say and not object in any way and stand up like very few have, right?
Yeah.
Spoken against them. So they're going to paint it like that. Like, look, that's the kind of the kind of a fear thing. Like, oh, is that what you want America to become? And when you're speaking to the base, obviously, it's not.
Yeah, he openly acknowledged there that they're going to try to use fear this week to drive mm-hmm. people out to the polls.
It's almost like, here comes a slider down and in.
Good luck.
Good luck, and he's going to throw it. So they're hoping they were able to generate, you know, enough passion against the Democrats, almost like we saw reversal mm-hmm. anytime Trump was running. It wasn't so much the Democrat ideas, it was, we can't have Trump in office.
So a successful week for the GOP, the national GOP, with this midterm convention would be if at the end of the week you have more people that believe the Democrats are being led by El Sayed and Mamdani
yep.
than Schumer and Jeffries
yep.
and that lot. But
who used to be the
radical left.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even though they still are awfully radical.
Yeah.
And they're definitely letting the DSA run roughshod over
they
them
are.
Right now.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, too, that this lines up with 9/11 and the remembrances this week and what has become such a big story in New York City with Mamdani set to attend the 9/11 remembrance ceremonies. And it'll actually be Vance there instead of Trump this week. Trump will be at the Pentagon rather than New York City for the 9/11 remembrances.
Yeah.
But this convention will be happening at the same time that Mamdani and the 9/11 stuff is too. So I'm interested to see the juxtaposition they put out there in the Mamdani policies and feelings about Americans and America
yep.
compared to what the GOP is going to try to put out there this week. But there's another twist here too, Dan,
okay.
and that's, you know, what carries the ratings in September? What is the big show on TV every September, especially once you get a week and a half in?
It's football.
It's the NFL.
Yeah.
And while this convention is set for Wednesday and Thursday this week, so is the NFL. They have opening games on Wednesday and Thursday.
I know. We had that camel reminding us all weekend long that
Mike
going to be hump Mike. Day.
Yeah. So I know that the conventions will be taking place during the day. They are worried a little bit here that the NFL is going to take the shine out of this convention. And so many of the exact same people that Johnson was talking about getting to the polls, maybe not your daily FM Talk 106.5 listeners that are in tune to the news all the time, but your, you know, Sunday football, maybe watch 60 minutes, but have a general feeling about how things are going on in the world. That's the ones they need to draw in and get them promoted, pumped up to go to the polls. They will not be watching the convention Wednesday night and Thursday night while the NFL is on. I'll tell you that much.
But there's also, there's people questioning, why are you going to put Trump, like another Trump-palooza here? Because Trump's numbers are kind of in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, no one is going to be disparaging Trump at all. And the reason is the hope that he can draw the MAGA guys off the couch,
mm-hmm.
even though he's not on the ballot. They could play a big role in this too.
Yeah.
So if you get, and generally they're not going to come to the polls when Trump's not involved. Trump is going to be imploring them, like, look, we need you. And that's the strategy. Again, some are saying, why would you highlight Trump when you've got when he's got some trouble numbers wise, mm-hmm. polling wise, but it seems like the overall consensus among GOP leadership is now we need Trump. We need Trump to trumpet this to make sure that the MAGA voters vote.
Yeah, and you know they have so many wins they could talk about, and
I
don't think they're doing a good enough job of talking about where crime stands compared to where it was, the border. The number of violent illegal aliens that have been taken off the streets. I mean, just look at that Florida recovery of children.
167.
Children. Yeah, that were in, you know, I'm sure, sex trafficking operations or just in really bad situations. I haven't heard the GOP do a good enough job of talking about that, or even the jobs that have come in, you know, and there were big promises made about bringing industry back to the country. And I know I see a lot of jobs lost week in and week out, but those are generally tech companies or some of these vehicle companies that are really struggling right now, like Volkswagen. But look at the news in Alabama, the business news. You keep hearing of Hyundai and Honda and opening new lines and bringing new models that they're going to start making. There's a lot of good economic news that they could be talking about, but they can't get past the war economy that we're in with the gas prices. Since we began talking, two of you have sent in pictures of gas pumps and really diesel pumps. I filled up for in Mississippi, in Columbus, on Sunday on our way back. I think I got it at $3.69 a gallon, which was pretty close to what it was around here, I believe, for a lot of the weekend. But Jason texting in this morning from a diesel pump, he said this was a shocker. Looks like he was paying $6.28 a gallon this morning. Michael sending one, put 30 gallons in the tank, and it looks like he maxed out that pump at $175, if that's where they maxed it or that's where he ended up falling there. He said, this is getting funny with the cost of fuel. In February, this would have been around $95. Filling up at least twice a week is costing an extra $150 a week.
Wow.
Maybe
wow.
Trump and Vance should focus on cleaning up their Middle East debacle instead of rallying around their achievements of nearly doubling fuel costs.
So it's a debacle because of the prices we're paying at home right now and as it relates to that. And yet there's an opinion out there, maybe not New York Times opinion, but there is opinion out there of people who watch this very closely saying that Iran is almost right at the brink.
Yeah.
That actually maybe missteps were taken in early spring as far as our aggression and turning over to negotiations with people who are not going to negotiate in good faith.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, maybe that's the truth. But this economic strangulation,
he called it asphyxiation last week at the G20.
Yeah.
Bessent did.
So this is Dave McCormick from Pennsylvania saying yesterday, this is part of the Republican talking points, but it may be very true. It's almost like people are saying that we're not winning the war in Iran, but others who are, you know, they're of the opinion we're just simply not winning it fast enough. Here's McCormick.
We've made enormous progress in degrading the military capability of Iran, and now it's an economic game to further strangle the Iranian regime.
There's people who almost say it's a matter of time. I don't know if it's that close. Remember, I talked about the four-star guy who's got, and they said, "Well, how many people do you talk in Iran every day, or how many friends do you have on the ground in Iran?" Because not much is getting in or out, but this guy is communicating. And I think there's more of that going on than we know. And he said dozens. So I would say that means he's talking 48 to 70, I guess. So he's saying that it's a matter of time.
Yeah, but with the midterms on the way, that's not something that for Americans is easy to identify.
No.
When Israel...
It's easy to look at the numbers at the gas pump.
Yeah.
And that's easy.
Well, when they come out and say, listen, we just had a strike that decapitated the entire Iranian leadership... Or after the beeper thing, you see all these videos coming out of the beepers exploding and killing the leadership in Iran. That's something that Americans can go, wow, our military is amazing. They are kicking ass. This thing's going to be over before you know it. Remember those days?
And I think that was the Israelis, by the way, with the beepers.
The Israelis. Mm-hmm. So when you get promises, and they may be true promises, like the Energy Secretary Chris Wright saying, listen, summer's coming to an end. Oil is beginning to move through the strait. Trust us, those gas prices will start dropping very soon. They've been telling us that for several months now.
Trump followed up with $2 a gallon at some point.
He said how much it would cost.
Yeah. $2 a gallon, where right now you paid $3.69.
But you have to take them at their same word for saying, listen, this economic warfare is really working right now. Had the story from the Wall Street Journal. No Iranian crude has crossed the U.S. naval blockade since mid-July. Said the offshore stockpile of fuel has fallen from roughly 90 million barrels to 29 million barrels of oil. They think that could be exhausted by October. Loadings last month were down 85% from earlier this year. Inflation has climbed above 80%. The rial is plunging. The IMF says Iran's economy will contract 5.4%. They said, listen, the economic warfare is working, but what we don't know, or if you have a pretty good theory at this point, will Iran come to an agreement? Will it take the Iranian people uprising, which we've been waiting for over a year for, or will they do what they seem to like to do when they've, you know, when it looks like the end is nigh and start flailing wildly and just hitting out at anybody they can?
Yeah, that's kind of been what they've been doing right now. And I don't know that they have got that much left to do it with. And that's part of the
gamble.
The American bet, too. Like, I don't think they've got enough to actually continue to pester us, because all the manufacturing plants and all everything that was destroyed. And a lot of people think that once Trump pivoted from the destruction of Iran to the negotiation with Iran, that kind of became a soft point, because when you negotiate with a country and a culture that simply has not got a history of telling the truth and negotiating in good faith, that was all out the window. So that, who knows? Who knows? But we may be closer to a resolution than we know.
Also this morning, though, it seems like the Houthis are acting up a little bit more in Yemen, and them and the Saudis aren't seeing eye to eye once again, so yep. Could see it pop off right there again.
852, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:57 on the text line. Squirrel Vereen said, I see coworkers wasting water, so does food. If everyone else is like that, I can't care when they fuss about the cost of gas or food. They have to completely be dopey to let the whole country go to socialist, they-them nonsense just because they pay more at the pump. Well, the pump's a real story.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Yeah, it is. And diving into socialism, as much as some people want it, right now that's not a real thing for people who are going to the ballots. That's what I think Johnson's saying. They want to make it real this week at the GOP convention. Hey, this is something that could come to your neighborhood before you know it. Also, Rock and Roll Doctor says, we are financing the economic implosion of Iran with higher refined gas prices for us. Who's getting the upside of this short term? ExxonMobil stock is up 33% this year and Chevron up 56%. That's what Rock and Roll Doctor has to say. Fire Dog said, I live on the Eastern Shore. I never go to Mobile unless life or death is involved. The tunnels are just not worth it. And said, I took a picture of the gas price at the Chevron near my house when Biden took office. Gas was $1.64 when Biden was going in. Why did the gas prices go up? It wasn't Trump. Biden made sure your dollar was worth a whole lot less. There's a lot of truth to that. And also here, texture says, why is the jail so flooded with FLACA and just what's being done about it? News story about 2 years ago, but nothing has changed and why? It's a good question. And I believe today, I'll have to check with Sean, I think we today get to hear from Sheriff Paul Birch, who will have plenty to talk about and ask the sheriff.
And the Republicans worried that their messaging at the convention will be drowned out by the New England Patriots and Seattle Seahawks. Football is just that big.
Sheriff is on today with Sean Sullivan. You want to don't miss that.